I think that the church in India, of course, a very small minority, but it seems to me that it's grown in confidence since the visit of Pope John Paul, that when he came here, he spoke to all the various aspects of the mission of the church, and not only encouraged them, he gave them the will to say, we can do this. And I think that, in a sense, what has happened, that the church has become, yes, enculturated more into this extraordinary Indian culture, but also with a very distinct voice, and a voice that's much valued.
As you say, the population is a tiny minority. It's never been much over about 2.5% of the population. And yet it exerts a very strong influence through, for example, the schools or the social ministry, doesn't it?
That's right. It has always happened in these countries that education and health care, which the Catholic Church provides with such abundance, as well as looking at the real needs of the society, means certainly in education that a number of people in high office are in fact educated in Catholic schools. And that means that there's a stake, if you like, and those people, not necessarily Catholics at all, but they have a respect for the church, which is, I think, very important. This is a very religious country. There is respect for religion. Many religions, as we know, but that's something that, it seems to me, that we should hope for in the West, where some people, as you know, are trying to put the church on the periphery or religion on the periphery, whereas we know that religion is crucial for the well-being of society.
You've also met with leaders of other religions there, haven't you? Interfaith dialogue is quite a sensitive area of work for the church today, given the persecution of Christians that we have seen periodically flaring up. What were you able to see of the church's work in this area?
Yes, the Cardinal Gracious and myself and the Papal Nuncio here, Archbishop Salvatore Pennacchio, we were invited to a meeting with the leaders of Hindu and Muslim here in Bombay. And I thought it was a very profitable meeting, really. Great respect, denoting the limits of dialogue, but also the usefulness of dialogue, particularly with regard to working together in ethical values, the family, morals and public life, and various things which, in fact, we are advised to cooperate with them. And the leaders of those other religions, especially Hindu and Muslims, are keen to have dialogue with the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church is wise in having respectful dialogue with them, while, as I say, delineating quite clearly the distinctness of the revelation we believe is in Jesus Christ. Now, that seems to me to be very, very important to say. But again, it was a very helpful dialogue with all of us having something to say. So it was very helpful.
There is a perception, isn't there, that Christian missionaries are somehow involved in converting people, particularly tribal people. How is the church attempting to combat, if you like, this perception?
Well, I think they talk a lot about that here now. It seems to me, talking with the religious, the bishops here, that being a Catholic means one has to profess one's faith. And to that extent, there are a number of people, especially, as you say, among the tribal peoples who wish to become Catholics. This is a very sensitive issue. And I think the bishops here are handling it very sensitively so as not to cause violence, as there can be. As far as I can gather, the way that they're handling this is a way which does justice to those who wish to become Catholics, but it's more individual than the whole lot of people. I was talking to Cardinal Gracious about it, and he is, I think, very concerned that those who wish to become Catholics have a prolonged catechesis, 1 to 3 years. It's not anything quick. So that there's no question of the Catholic Church in any way proselytizing. But obviously, if a person really wishes to become a Catholic, the means should be provided.
You went to particularly the tribal areas, didn't you, and had a symposium about social issues amongst these people. What can you tell us about the conditions that they're living in today?
The behaviour is interesting. Social concerns and tribal issues, and no doubt with regard to the tribal issues. It's very sad here how those people have been treated. Their lands have been taken over and they've been exploited and they've had to move out. And so they now, in all the move to the big cities. And it was very nice to hear how the Catholic churches, as it were, standing up for the tribal issues. Cardinal Popo, the Archbishop of Ranchi, is himself from the tribal background. And he's very forthright on this question.
India today, of course, is a very different place from a quarter of a century ago when Pope John Paul visited. It's now known as one of the Asian tigers with a growing economy. What impressions did you have of this newfound wealth?
Well, I'm here in Bombay at the moment, and there's no doubt that it's a very prosperous city. But at the same time, even looking around, as we travelled through the city a number of occasions these last couple of days, one sees huge poverty amongst the people living on the side of the road. So if you were to say to me, has it meant that great benefits have come to the poorest people in India? I don't think so. I mean, I think one can be pleased that India has become more prosperous, but I think there's a danger that the rich get richer, the poor remain where they are. Now, to be fair, I know the government is trying in areas to get better building, better housing for people, but I think a lot more can and should be done.
One of the iconic images of that visit of Pope John Paul in 1986, of course, was his visit to Mother Teresa's House for the Dying in Calcutta. You have been, haven't you, on this trip to visit the sisters and to see the work that they continue to do today.
Very, very moving. We went to the house in Calcutta and we saw the way in which they look after these abandoned children. And it's both moving, pathetic, and great, great, great credit to Mother Teresa and now her missionaries of charity. It's no wonder that they've become renowned for that particular service to the most marginalized, the most abandoned of people. And the way we were greeted there by the sisters and by the children. It was very moving to meet the sisters. They were so happy, so many of them. There's no doubt that religious life here has flourished, is flourishing. One can only rejoice at that.
You also met young people, didn't you? I'm wondering what kind of sense you got from them, what kind of optimism they have, perhaps, about their future, young Christians particularly.
We're having a special mass for young people here in Bombay. There'll be a big crowd, and I'll also be having some kind of dialogue interaction with them, so I look forward to that. But on the two different dioceses we went to, Ranchi and Vasai, which are very rural dioceses, I must say, the faith, the enthusiasm of the people is incredible. I mean, I can imagine just how Pope John Paul must have felt when he came here 25 years ago, where he was rapturously received by all the faithful, particularly, of course, by young people. We saw at those two places at least about 10,000, about 5,000 at a time, at the masses that were celebrated. And yet, during the liturgy, while there was an extraordinary greeting at the beginning as we arrived, during the Mass there was silence and reverence.
Finally then, what message are you taking back home to the United Kingdom from the church there in India?
I think I'm taking back to the United Kingdom the sense of a church that's vibrant, a church that is a tiny minority, of course, in this vast subcontinent. But a church that is, as it were, found its feet, to put it badly, as that minority, able to give witness within all the other religions to the distinctiveness of the Christian faith. It's also, particularly when we were in Kerala, having experience of the different rites here, particularly the Saranalavar and the Alankana rites, which, as it were, live together, particularly in that part in Kerala, with great amity. So that also was very moving. So I found quite, I suppose, simply that here was the church that was going to develop in the years ahead. Please God, that continued to be rich in vocations. Church was very happy to be part of the universal church in communion, of course, with Pope Benedict, having happy memories of the visit of Pope John Paul 25 years ago, and I think confidence of its future.